Right now it's nearly 11:30 a.m. Time for Talking Animals on 88.5 FM WMNF Tampa. I'm Duncan Strauss, and I'm really delighted to be bringing you another edition of Talking Animals, during which our guest will be Emmylou Harris. We always kick off the show with an animal tune. Let's do so today with one from Emmylou. This is Emmylou Harris with Bluebird Wine here on WMNF.
Baby brought me in out off the highway, made me put my money in the bank, straightened out my crooked way of thinking, made it pure pleasure when I drank, and it's
this is Bluebird Wine, an animal tune of sorts by today's guest, Emmylou Harris, as we ease into today's edition of Talking Animals on 88.5 FM WMNF Tampa, and streaming live on the internet via our fabulous new website, WMNF.org. By the way, we're celebrating our fourth anniversary when we first launched the show in California, almost to the day, so happy anniversary to us, I guess, right? My name's Duncan Strauss, and I'll be here till noon today with our program that is devoted to all subjects in the animal kingdom. Indeed, the show primarily seeks to learn about animals and animal issues from our guests, from news items, from your phone calls and emails, from assorted other sources. But we're also quite interested in celebrating animals through music, comedy, and other means. We've always aimed for a spirited balance of those elements, as you can readily glean. If you care to visit our website, talkinganimals.net. Indeed, the website offers archives of all our past shows, and we're now podcasting, baby, including all our initial programs on WMNF, which have featured an array of illustrious figures from the animal world or notable folks from other fields who have a legitimate tie to animal welfare. Today's edition once again extends the show's tradition of speaking with fascinating folks from all walks of animal life, with the conversation we'll have momentarily with our guest, the aforementioned Emmylou Harris, the singer-songwriter, who in a recording career spanning 30-plus years has won 12 Grammys, endless accolades, and approximately a zillion fans. Also a lifelong animal advocate, Emmylou has given or organized numerous benefit concerts for various animal welfare organizations over the years. Indeed, she put together a weekly concert series underway right now in Nashville for a no-kill shelter. She's also created Bonaparte's Retreat, a foster care shelter for dogs. She operates at her Nashville home with an emphasis on dogs who, for one reason or another, are otherwise likely to be euthanized. We'll find out lots more about Bonaparte's retreat and her other work on behalf of animals when we hear our conversation with Emmylou Harris here on Talking Animals in a moment. First, a couple of quick animal news announcement type of things, starting with ACT's first annual Neuterathon. The Animal Coalition of Tampa being ACT's acronym. And you can neuter your pet male cat for, well, let's just say it's less than it costs you to go to a movie these days, or about the cost of, let's say, a Starbucks cat, you know, large or venti, whatever, cappuccino. So that's going to be this Friday, June 15th. And not surprisingly, given the incredibly low cost, there's limited space available, about 100 spots total. And that that figure that we're not saying exactly on the air, but is quite reasonable, includes in-house pain medicine and other services for about that same dough. Include rabies vaccine, distemper, pan, leukemia, take-home pain medicine, flea treatment, general deworming, tape deworming, ear mite treatment, nail trim. Can you believe it? So get in on this. Again, only 100 spots. This space is limited. So call 813-250-3900 to check that out. Last time I went to their website, it seemed to be on the blink. But just give them a call. ACT, Animal Coalition of Tampa, 813-250-3900 for the first annual Neuterathon this Wednesday, June 15th. Also, if you're looking at how you can best do your good deed for the day, I mention this periodically here on Talking Animals, there's a website called the Animal Rescue Site. .com. That's indeed the address, Animal Rescue Site, SITE.com. And if you go there, you'll see pretty much right in the middle, in sort of a pink little banner, Fund Food for Animals. And all you do is click on that, and through an arrangement with sponsors and supporters, that frees up food for animals that have been abandoned, neglected, need to be adopted, etc. You can do that every single day, and it's free. It's free to do it. So why not? TheAnimalRescueSite.com. All right, let's step into the Talking Animals Comedy Corner, which involves animal-oriented comedy, of course. This is Paul F. Tompkins with a piece called Alternative Pets on today's Comedy Corner here on WMNF.
People who have their alternative pets on their person. People walking around with animals on their body. See a guy who's got an iguana hanging out up there on his shoulder? See another person with a crazy cockatiel just hanging out? And I guess you're supposed to have some reaction to these people, you know. I guess what they want you to say is something like, well, pardon me, sir. Is that a bird on your shoulder? Well, you must be one fascinating individual. Your personality is not at all manufactured. I say, what if we were to exchange addresses and became pen pals? That way I could collect your letters in a bound volume entitled My Correspondence with the Most Interesting Person Alive. Working hard for you. That's great. You can have any animal that you want, you know, because we have dominion over the beasts of the fields and all, you know, but here's the thing. Even animals need some alone time, okay? How about that, you know? Maybe the lizard would like to sit at home, play on the rock for a while, you know? Maybe the bird would like to play with the bell, look in the mirror for a little bit. Maybe they don't have to come with you on all your jackass errands. How about that? Leave them alone for a minute. Come on, Cecil, we're going down to the bank so everybody can see your crazy eyes. Woo!
All right. That was Paul F. Tompkins with a piece called Alternative Pets. I'm Duncan Strauss. This is Talking Animals on 88.5 FM WMNF. The station website is WMNF.org. The show website is TalkingAnimals.net. Where not only all our past programs are archived, but many are now available on as podcasts on iTunes and elsewhere. Also on our site, there are pieces written about us, pieces we've written. Plus, there's now a Talking Animals blog. There's also a calendar of pet events taking place in and around Tampa and a place to subscribe to our monthly email newsletter so we can keep you posted on forthcoming guests and other tidbits. And, of course, remind you when the next show will air right here on WMNF. So that's all found at TalkingAnimals.net. It's nearly time for our conversation with today's guest, singer-songwriter and 12-time Grammy winner Emmylou Harris. Let me quickly outline a few important details about her. As I touched on a few moments ago, Emmylou has given or organized numerous benefit concerts for various animal welfare organizations. Well, over the years, indeed, she put together a weekly concert series underway right now in Nashville for a no-kill shelter, featuring such artists as Mindy Smith, Rodney Crowell, John Hyatt, and Emmylou herself. She's also created Bonaparte's Retreat, a foster care shelter for dogs. She operates at her Nashville home with an emphasis on dogs who, for one reason or another, are otherwise likely to be euthanized. Not surprising, perhaps, she promotes animal adoption and spay-neuter every chance she gets, has lobbied for an anti-tethering ordinance, was recently honored by the Humane Society of the U.S., and more. So let's hear from her in a conversation recorded recently. This is Emmylou Harris on Talking Animals on WMNF. All right, let's welcome Emmylou Harris to Talking Animals. Thanks so much for joining us today, Emmylou.
Sure.
I certainly look forward to discussing, of course, Bonaparte's Retreat and your other efforts on behalf of animals, very much including lobbying for the anti-tethering laws. But I first want to ask you about a quote I've seen a few times, at least, in which you say, "Animals can teach us how to be better human beings. They've certainly taught me that." How so?
Well, I think animals are, they give us so much. And, you get so much back just by the simple act of kindness and really common sense, you just take basic care of an animal, they give you back so much. And they make you want to be even better, to take better care of them. They enrich our lives so much. And, I just feel like they make our lives better.
Yeah. And it sounds like you, from what you're saying is it kind of escalates. So when you do that and you see kind of the effect of that.
People, they've seen things happen, and when they brought animals into prisons, to be trained by the prisoners. Sometimes it's the first good relationship that some of these people have ever had in their lives.
Right.
Obviously it helps people that are living alone. I think it helps children when they learn how to care for something and the responsibility. But more than anything, they give us so much love.
Sure.
And I think it kind of awakens, something in us that sometimes with people, it's harder to deal with people. We have to communicate and they have to, understand what we're saying, and we get it wrong a lot of times. But with animals, it's just so on the surface.
Right. No, it kind of taps right into if some of us aren't necessarily as empathetic or compassionate as we might otherwise be. I think I know what you mean, that animals seem to sort of trigger that in a way that's just more direct than most of us humans can somehow muster.
Right.
So now, Emmylou, were you always an animal person? I mean, to what extent were animals part of your formative years, for example?
Oh, well, we always had a dog. To get back to early history, my father was actually studying veterinary medicine at the University of Virginia when World War II broke out, and he enlisted in the Marine Corps. And in the course of his officer training time in Pensacola, Florida, he met my mother, and they eloped. So he didn't go back to, after the war was over, he didn't go back to veterinary school, but he always loved animals. He always had a real compassion for animals. Mm. And I think that was instilled in me and my brother from an early age.
Yeah, sounds like
all my relatives were like that. I mean, I just, I had an aunt who adopted every stray animal in Howard County, Maryland, and my grandfather on my mother's side had hunting dogs that he just kept. He loved those dogs and he kept such good care of them. They weren't allowed in the house from my grandmother, but no hunting dogs, no dogs were ever cared for better. So, by example,
sure.
I saw this.
Yeah, sounds like it was both in your blood and then you just had it exposed every which way.
Yeah, and anytime there was any event, sometimes there were cruel events in the neighborhood, kids torturing an animal or something. My parents' reaction to it was so horrified. And to see, by example, we learn, this is something that you don't do. So,
So every which way.
If children see their parents being cruel to animals, then it's perpetrated.
Right.
Unfortunately.
For sure. And as you're suggesting, the reverse is true as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And what you just touched on there kind of prompts another question. Was as an adult, was deciding to work on animals' behalf kind of a natural, gradual evolution? Obviously, you grew up with a love of animals, but was there a particular incident that served as a catalyst that sort of of galvanized you into doing as much for animals?
Well, yes. Of course, I had, once I moved to this house in where I live now,
mm-hmm.
I got a dog for my then 12-year-old daughter, and then that it led to another dog, and then my mother came to live with me after my father died and brought an assortment of animals, and so the animal population, you know, kind of exploded around here. And one of the dogs that I adopted from Nashville Humane became my road companion. His name was Bonaparte, and I had him for 10 years. He went everywhere with me, as long as I was on the bus. But I even flew him a couple of times when I had to be out in studios for long periods of time. He was involved in a couple of making of several records, actually. And
I hope he got his credits
because he definitely made life better for me.
And what kind of dog was Bonaparte?
He was kind of a poodle mix,
mm-hmm.
Kind of hard to describe.
Sure.
He kind of looked like something Dr. Seuss would have drawn.
Sure, the way the best dogs often are.
He was a very sociable dog, a very low maintenance of, you know, lovely companion, and he died quite suddenly back in 2002, and I was pretty devastated. I had other animals, obviously, but, you know, I'm sure your listeners know when you have that sort of soulmate.
Yeah.
And I didn't think I would get another personal dog, but I because all our animals were pretty much, you know, shelter dogs, all our cats, all our dogs, I guess I thought about doing some work helping shelter dogs,
mm-hmm.
especially, and I actually saw I think it was an HBO special called Shelter Dogs that Susan Sternberg.
Oh right, did, right, yeah.
That really, really moved.
Spoke to you.
I mean, I really was moved by that, and you know, I took a look at this huge backyard that I had, this big flat backyard that I always wondered what I was supposed to do, and I thought, well, you know, I could build some dog runs and it just to have a small operation and foster dogs for the Nashville Humane, which was my main connection, you know, to shelter dogs and from personal experience,
mm-hmm.
which is what I did in the beginning. But then I got up enough courage to actually go to our local metro, you know, the dog pound.
Yeah.
After we'd been up and running for about a year and a half. And I exclusively started taking dogs that were on death row that, you know, just for no reason were going to be euthanized, really.
Right.
I had run out of time. There was nothing wrong with them. They were perfectly good dogs. And we've been able to find homes for them. Sometimes it takes a long time to find the right family. But it's satisfying on one level.
Mm-hmm.
On another level, it's really heartbreaking because whereas when I was working with Nashville Humane, it was a no-kill shelter.
Mm-hmm.
But at Metro, it's very difficult to go there. I know you can only take one dog.
Right, you
at
just
a time when you have a vacancy, so to speak.
Sure.
And
the numbers are so staggering.
Well, the thing is, in the Nashville metro area last year alone, there were almost 11,000 dogs and cats euthanized, and they've determined that possibly at least 3/4 of them were perfectly adoptable animals that just ran out of time. I mean, some animals are put down because of illness or aggressive behavior that makes it almost impossible for them to get adopted.
Sure.
It's really heartbreaking, and it could be solved so easily by spaying and neutering, by making it, you know, the law that you have to get your pet spayed and neutered. There are communities around this country that have done that, and they have almost eliminated the homeless dog and cat population. I just think people, they either don't think about it, or they're lazy, or they think they can't afford it. Certainly communities can make it affordable for people to have their animals spayed and neutered, but I think a lot of it is just that people don't, it's education. It's education and legislation is what we need to do in all our communities.
Absolutely. Well, let me just let our listeners know, this is Talking Animals on WMNF, and we're speaking with Emmylou Harris. This is actually a recorded conversation, so I'm afraid I can't invite you to call in and join us this time. Her website is emmylou.net. And you just touched on something, Emmylou, or actually a couple things at least, that I think are just so important. I mean, I've really been struck. I've only moved to Florida about a year and a half ago, and I've really been struck here, and I think it's true to a varying extent elsewhere, about the preponderance, or at least apparent preponderance, of folks who buy and sell dogs and other animals. And sometimes I wonder if it has much impact for a Joe Schmo or a Duncan Strauss, for that matter, to tout the virtues of adopting versus buying an animal. But I'm sure it has more impact, at least, if Emmylou Harris does so. So maybe you can just talk a little bit more about that, and the very much related point you just addressed, which is the incredible importance of spay-neuter.
Well, it is, whether you get a purebred dog. I mean, if you're going to breed the animals, I suppose that's another thing. I mean, I don't know. I suppose that can be dealt with in some way in legislation, because, you're selling the dog, so you get money for them, so... I'm sure there something can be worked out for that.
Mm-hmm.
But I live in this other world.
For sure.
Of the mutts,
right.
Basically.
Right.
Which I think are the best dogs in the world.
Of course.
But I love all dogs and cats. I mean, I think they all deserve a chance and a loving home. And they're just so many mutts out there.
Yeah.
And they're the ones that end up in the shelters. And, of course, one of the big problems is there's so many pit bulls and pit bull mixes. They've gotten a bad rap. It might be justified. It might not. I mean, I know that a lot of shelters will not accept any pit bull mixes. And I know at Metro, they just put down the pit bull. They don't even make it to the adoption room. And it's just... I keep using this word heartbreaking, but it really is heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Through no fault of their own, they come into this world, and three strikes against them, three strikes and you're out, at the very beginning.
Yeah, well, their three strikes all come by virtue of being a pit bull.
Yes.
Yeah, which just doesn't seem fair at all. And so with all that you're doing, let's talk, I guess, a little bit more even about Bonaparte's Retreat. I mean, how many dogs are you able to sort of help foster at any given time or keep there with you to make sure that at least, as you've said, some of them don't get euthanized that otherwise would?
Well, we're set up, technically we're set up for three dogs. We
mm-hmm.
have three pretty spacious runs that are separated.
Mm-hmm.
They have some space between them. I actually consulted Kinky Friedman before I did this. He has a wonderful dog shelter.
Yeah, he's a past guest on the show.
Good.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
And he's a very good friend of Buddy Miller, who's a bandmate of mine. And
mm-hmm.
so Buddy brought him over to the house. He was in Nashville on a book tour.
Great.
And so he put me in touch with his excellent people down there, and they told me what kind of fencing to use and how much space we should have between the runs. And I have a pretty big backyard, so I'm also able to have a common yard for them that's separated from our own yard for our own dogs. And so three dogs at a time,
mm-hmm.
what we do, and I have an office in a garage. That's where I'm talking to you right now.
Okay.
Used to be an office exclusively for... my gal Carol Campbell to, deal with all my
business stuff,
business
and music
stuff.
Yeah.
But we ended up, having this thing about the dogs barking and at night. So we actually have crates up here, and we crate train the dogs and bring them up at night.
Mm.
And so that's where they go. And it also, if it's too hot or too cold or the weather is inclement, we bring them up here. So three dogs at a time is ideal. Now, around Christmas, I was at the Metro, and one thing led to another, and there was, one dog, and then there was another dog, and I thought, well, these dogs could be in the same run together, and I ended up with five dogs, and we actually just now got an adoption on one of those dogs, so we're down to four dogs. Two of them are in the same run, and they actually have bonded quite a lot. We would love to get the two of them adopted together. One's named Ginger, and for a while we were calling the other one Fred.
Of course, yeah.
His actual name is Cisco.
All right.
And you get quite attached to these dogs.
Sure.
And you just want to find the perfect situation. Some dogs, don't get along with cats, So we usually what we do is we take them to a place called Nashville Pet Products that has cats everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
The cats that live there at the Nashville Pet Products, and we take the dogs there on a leash and see how they do, and then we can assess them as to you know, are they scared of the cats? Do they want to go out after the cats? Do they ignore the cats? You know, and we work with a trainer, a great gal named Cindy Scalfi.
Yeah.
Canines and Guardians. She has a great organization. And you know, she assesses the dogs as far as aggression or anything that we, food aggression or fear issues, anything that we might have to deal with, and give them basic training. But, you know, the ultimate thing that I can offer them is love,
mm-hmm.
socialization,
sure.
you know, routine. They're in a safe place, and they can socialize with people and the other dogs and crate train them and get them ready for... So it's kind of a foster home situation.
Right.
They're not in my house.
Right. But it sounds like, too, if I'm not mistaken, if I'm looking into this a little bit, that you really seem to, when you can, at least bring in the ones that are, you know, maybe older, have
yes,
been adopted, return more than once, might be have been sitting there for a long time, so that
well,
they...
Well, the ultimate, usually what we do, we take bigger dogs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're basically outside, and we're not set up for puppies, or although we have... We're trying to get more people to foster for us.
Sure.
And we had a gal that did foster a puppy for us that was getting ready to be put down, and we did get him. He did get adopted.
Oh, great.
I'm actually affiliated with Happy Tales Humane, which is located in Franklin, Tennessee, and they are right now just a series of foster homes. But we're working right now to raise money for a permanent facility. In fact, we're starting a series of concerts tomorrow, every Wednesday night until the 4th of July, in a partnership with Pedigree, which is doing a great thing, helping out with sheltered dogs all around the country.
That's great.
I think there's a real movement and
yeah.
real awakening on the part of people. Towards animals right now. There's still a lot of work to be done.
Well, and you've certainly done a lot of it. I mean, this concert reminds me that there's been a number of concerts and things that you've done to either raise money for Nashville Humane Association or others, and this series of concerts sounds great. And I know we're sort of just nearing the end of our time, and just want to, again, let people know that my guest is Emmylou Harris, in a conversation recorded recently. Her website for animal issues and everything else is www.emmylou.net. So there's information on Bon Appétit Retreat there. So I mean, let me ask you just because we are sort of nearing the end of our time. I mean, this, yeah, it just seems like obviously the dogs and you know, their welfare are so important. And on a related note, maybe you could talk a little bit about your efforts on behalf of this anti-tethering ordinance.
Well, you know, this idea that it's okay to tie up an animal on a 3-foot chain, and that's where they live their life. And as long as you feed them and water them, that you're you know, you're a good pet owner.
Right.
Dogs are extremely sociable creatures,
mm-hmm.
and they really need love and affection, and they need exercise. They need to have a relationship with their owner. And, you know, the idea of just having a dog for, I suppose, a burglar alarm, it's really cruel.
Yeah.
Cruel and inhuman. And, you know, I want to just mention, there's a book by Matthew Scully called Dominion.
Oh, yeah.
Which, I love the premise, you know, of his book, which is, you know, the Bible says, you know, and God gave dominion, you know, over the animals, mm-hmm. to man. And he said, that doesn't mean that we can do whatever we want
right.
to the other creatures that we share this planet with. It implies a very grave and important responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got to get back to that. And that gets back to our original question about, you know, animals can make us, you know, better human beings. It's the way we respond and the way we treat our fellow creatures as to what kind of people we are.
Right. Says so much about us.
Right. And I think it's been said that civilizations will be judged on the way they treat their animals. So,
for sure.
And, you know, the tethering is just, you know, if you really don't want a dog, you know, in your house or in your yard, if you're not set up to have a full-time, long-term relationship for the life of this animal,
yeah,
then you shouldn't be getting a dog.
Right. Yeah, putting him on a chain is really that's just adopt him out or hand him off to someone who can do it for sure. So Emily Lou, we have probably a minute or less probably left, but I'd be remiss if I didn't ask at least one or two musical related questions. I gather you're finishing up your next album.
Well, I'm going to finish it up in July, but
okay.
It won't come out until next year because I actually have an 80-song
box set. Yeah.
That's coming out. It's called Songbird. And it will come out in September.
Great.
There will also be a DVD with, I think there's 10 live performances on there that go all the way back to 1975.
Wow.
And the songs go all the way back to 1969.
Oh, wow. So this is much more sweeping than
yeah,
say, Portraits
there's songs from half of the box set is stuff from my actually, solo released records. And the other 40 are from tribute records or live things or demos or things that were previously unreleased that are, I think, will be real interesting. I know I had it was a real discovery for me to go back and listen to a lot of these things.
Wow, what a treat. Well, we'll look forward to that. And Emily Harris, thank you so much for joining us today on Talking Animals. Just want to remind people again, the website is emilou.net, and of course there's musical stuff and all that kind of information, but a lot of nice animal stuff, and that's where you can find out more about Bonaparte's Retreat and other things. So thank you very much for all your work on behalf of animals.
Thank you, Duncan.
And thanks for, of course, all your great music over the years as well.
Thank you.
All right, take care.
Bye-bye.
All right, thanks to Emily Lou Harris. It's Talking Animals on WMNF Tampa. No Name That Animal tune today. NPR News and then Democracy Now! Thanks. Catch you next time, July 11th.